We thank the Lord this morning for his goodness to us and his blessings to be back here in the saints again. First time in 4 months. It's been a long time. Thank you. I appreciate what God did for me and how he raised me up from being so sick. Thank the Lord for every touch and everything he did for me. We want to talk to you a little bit this morning about seeking God's help. We all want some help, don't we? There's things in our lives we want help with. There's things around us we want help with. We look out in the world and we want some help with those things. We want to seek God's help for things. So in Matthew, we want to start in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verses 7 through 11 is what basically our main thought is today. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Now, that sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? There's not anything negative in here. He's saying, how much more? If you know how to do good things for your children, how much more does God know? Because God knows the very thoughts and intents and everything inside of our hearts, everything we're struggling with. He knows everything. Yes. So how much more is he able to give good things? And it says here that if we ask, it will be given us. Seek, we'll find. Knock, it will be opened unto us. Sounds very, very positive. So why is it sometimes it feels like we don't get answers? Why is it that we sometimes feel like that things aren't working exactly how we thought they should? Why is it that we ask and ask and ask and it seems like God has not answered? All of us have had those times. All of us have had those places. Right. So we'd like to look into the Word and be able to come up with the reasons of what can hinder us when we're trying to seek for God's help. Now in Luke, that goes over these same scriptures, in the 13th verse, Luke 11:13, there's one thing added in Luke's account of these scriptures. It says, If then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more? If you just ask for it. You know, there are many, many people in this day and age that are trying to serve the Lord, but they have not received the Spirit in their heart and in their life. They're going to have some difficulties. God intended that we not only be able to be forgiven for our sins, but then that the Holy Spirit would live inside us to be a guide, a help, to be able to teach us things, to be able to correct us. It's something inside of us. And it says, how much more will he give us this if we just ask? You know, people try to make things so complicated. There are many times in the Word of God where the disciples were out and they would find believers somewhere and they asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In other words, have you received it? Is the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you in your life?
Yes.
Is he there with you, a constant help, a constant reminder, a constant presence inside of you, helping you? It's very important that as we live for the Lord, that we have everything God intended for us to have. When Jesus left, he told his disciples, now, you wait until you're endued with power, which was the Holy Ghost coming. Yeah. And they waited in that upper room, and they waited, and they prayed, and they waited, and they prayed, and they waited. And don't you know that they probably began to think, he's told us to wait, but how long are we supposed to wait? He told us to keep asking, but how long are we supposed to ask? But they waited until the Holy Spirit came and touched their lives. And then, what was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit then? They went out into the streets, and the disciples could speak all the foreign languages that were out there in the streets. All the different languages from all the different countries and men and women that were there. Each one was able to speak in their language to be able to spread the gospel. It would have been very hard to spread the gospel in one language. But God gave them the Holy Spirit that they might be able to have gifts that would give them the ability to preach and to teach and to confirm Jesus in their lives. Because they could speak in their language. And not only that, but they had power. Remember, they had all run away from God. They had all run away from Jesus in the garden. He had to have all this power. They had seen him do many things over and over and over. But as soon as the officials came and as soon as they started to take him off and everything, they all ran. But you don't see him running now, do you? You see him running after that? After they received the Holy Ghost, after they received that power within, do you see them running anymore? Well, sometimes they ran from one city to the next, but they didn't stop preaching.
Right.
Sometimes people lowered him down in a basket out a window. There are many places. But he was still able. They were still able to preach the gospel and keep going because they had power. They had something inside. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Now, in Matthew 21:20-22. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? All things. Oh, listen. I don't know about you, but throughout my experience, there were times that I asked for some pretty foolish things. I didn't know they were foolish at the time. I thought they were very important.
Yeah.
But as I grew in the Lord and as I walked further along with him, I realized, ooh, that was a foolish thing that I asked for.
Yeah.
But God has such compassion. It's just like our little children when they come to us and they ask us for something foolish. You know, and you look at them and you say, oh, they don't really understand. And you try to tell them why. It's not good for them to have that. It's not good for them to have that. You know, I want cake for breakfast. No, it's not really good for you to have cake for breakfast. And we try to explain it to them. But they really want it and they really think they should have it. That's how we are sometimes with the Lord. We come to him and we can ask for some foolish things. But you know, you don't have to worry about that. Because God knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows whether or not you're trying to get away with something or whether or not you're truly asking because you think it's a good thing. God knows these things. And he answers accordingly. It says, if you have faith and doubt not. If you don't doubt. Oh, listen. When we first get saved, many times, there's like this, like maybe a little honeymoon period we have where everything we pray for and everything we ask for, and it just seems like God is just there and just answering and this and that. It just seems so wonderful. But all of us hit the place where it didn't happen right away. And what happened? A little doubts kind of came into my mind. Well, am I not doing it right? Did I do something? Is the Lord not hearing me? You know, what's going on? Why? Why is this happening? And we learn over time that God sits on his throne. He looks down upon us. He sees us. He knows our needs. He knows everything that we need. And we ask for things, and he begins to work. Sometimes things can't come to us now. He has to work with many different avenues. He has to work with this person over here, and he has to work with that situation there. And he has to work with things like a big jigsaw puzzle. And he starts working all those pieces because he wants to get it all connected in the right place so that when your prayer is answered, it just fits right there. And so he moves all these pieces around. And so that's why we wait sometimes. We're waiting on the Lord to perfect it and to answer in the best possible manner and in the utmost perfect time. We think the perfect time is always now.
Yes.
That's what we think.
Yes.
We get sick, we want out now.
Yes.
You know, we have a headache, we want it gone now. Anything happens, we want it fixed now. We start getting a leaky faucet, we want it done now.
Yes.
We want things done now. That's the perfect timing for us.
Yes.
Alleviate this problem now. But that is not the way God looks at it. He doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it in how it's going to affect you, what it's going to build in you, how it's going to help you to mature. He looks at all of those aspects. And then he says in his heart, not now, child. Just wait a little bit. I'm going to work with you a little bit, and I'm going to teach you some things, and I'm going to talk to you about some things. And when we've got it all settled, then I'll do what you've been asking for. The Lord is so good to us, isn't he? So we can't doubt. We can't doubt. Mark 11, 24 through 26. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Sounds pretty positive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever you desire. Do you know that we have some very unhealthy desires? Do you know that?
Yeah.
We don't know they're unhealthy. We don't know we shouldn't have them yet. But they're not good for us.
Right.
And we needn't think that God is going to give us things that's not good for us.
Amen.
And so sometimes we don't get an answer because we're asking for something that really is not good for us.
Right.
We could be asking for an advancement in our job because we feel like, I'll get an advance in pay, I'll be able to do this and that for my family, I'll all these things. We have it all worked out. But do you know, God looks at it, and he looks at what's in that job, and he looks at what you're going to be exposed to, and he looks at what you're going to have to do for the company. He looks at all the things that are going to be required that you don't know yet. And he doesn't let you have it. And you think, well, Lord, I asked. Well, yes, you asked. But you asked because you thought it was good. You see, sometimes God doesn't answer because it's not good for you now. Maybe you're not strong enough to resist the temptations that will be there. Maybe he sees that the boss may give you such a hard time that you end up losing that job. And then you have no job. See, he sees the future. He knows what you're going to face and what's going to happen. Aren't you glad? So when we're seeking the Lord's help, we want to rest in what the Lord allows to come. And if it doesn't end up just how we asked, we need to thank the Lord that he saw something we didn't see. That he knows something we don't know. And that he's blessing us because of it. All right, in the 25th verse it says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Oh, dear ones. Do you know many, many, many a soul has not had their desires met, has not had their prayers answered because they were harboring unforgiveness in their hearts. They were harboring it. You know, unforgiveness looks a lot of ways. We wouldn't say, we might say outwardly, oh, I forgive them for what they did. But if we tell it every once in a while to somebody, that isn't real forgiveness. Because when God forgives us, does he tell everybody? I just want to know, does he come to you and tell you all about what he's forgiven me for?
No.
So unforgiveness can look a lot of different ways. It can be that, yes, I forgive them, but I'm going to kind of withdraw from them a little bit, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to try to stay out of their sphere, you know, because they did me wrong once, they could do it again, but I forgive them. Is that the way the Lord is?
No.
Well, they didn't do it right the first time, so I think I'm just going to stand back and stay out of their sphere, and not get close to them or anything, because, you know, they did me wrong. You know, they did wrong, and no, he forgives us. He forgives us.
Amen.
And for all the horrible things that we were and did and all before we were saved, for all those things that he so readily and freely, without, so to speak, what can I say, talking to you all about it and telling you all about it and telling you all about yourself and reminding you ever so often and making sure that you stay humble and down low before him, because after all, remember you did this and remember you did that. Is that what the Lord does for us? No, it's not. So we need to forgive like he forgives.
Amen.
And when we harbor some unforgiveness in our heart, a little ill will, a little standoffishness, a little less love than we should have.
Yeah.
When we harbor that, then don't be surprised that your prayers aren't answered.
Amen.
Don't be surprised. The scripture here says,
yeah,
when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand there praying, when you're asking me for something, you better be praying. You better be forgiving. When you ask me for something, you better be forgiving everybody else, as I forgave you. And that's why you feel comfortable now to come and ask me for things, because I forgave you.
Amen.
Lord help. John 14:13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
Very positive, isn't it?
Yes.
And another scripture that goes along with this one is John 16:23. It says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you.
Amen.
Think about that. The Father and the Son, both willing to give it to you. If you ask in Jesus' name, if you ask in his name. There are many times that you hear people pray, and they don't mention Jesus' name. They don't mention him. Now you could say in the Son's name, in Christ's name, in Jesus' name. There's many different ways maybe you might say it. But the point being is, the reason that we have this freedom to be able to come, this freedom that we have been forgiven, this salvation that we have, is because of the Son. It's because of Jesus. And we are to ask. Jesus told us we're to ask in his name. And then he said, and the Father expects you to ask in his name. In Jesus' name. We need to be very, very careful that we always ask in Jesus' name. That we put his name above all other names.
Amen.
There are many people that don't want to mention his name. They want to pray an obscure prayer. Speak to God, and then, but don't bring any particulars into it. But he said, ask in my name. And if you ask in my name, not only will I answer, but my Father will answer too, because you use my name. Be careful to use the Lord's name. Be careful. I remember one time that I was very, very sick. Very, very sick through the night. And I could just barely take a breath. Just barely take a breath. And barely take a breath. All night long. Couldn't sleep. But with every breath, I said his name. I couldn't pray anything else. I couldn't put a sentence together. I couldn't say even help me. I just said Jesus.
Amen.
Over and over and over through the night. And Jesus answered.
Thank you, Lord.
And his Father answered. Because it's Jesus' name. It's why we live and have our being today.
Yes.
The reason that we can have our everything become new in our life, the reason that that God can come in and change our very personalities and things about us that are not pleasing to him is because of Jesus. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have Jesus and they didn't have that power. They didn't have those changes. They lived right on in their sin. He gave them ways to be free. Come and bring this sacrifice once a year and attend this festival and make sure you do this and make sure you do that. If you do these physical outward things, I will forgive you your inward things. But when Jesus came, he said, now you don't have to do those outward things anymore. Now I'll forgive you from the heart. And you will be able to let go of those things that are sinful and awful in your life. Because I will change you. And I will come in and live in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. I will live in you. And I will make you a creature that you have power that you never thought you could have. The Lord is so good to us. You need help? This is the way you get it. This is the way you get it. All right? In John, let's see. In John 15:7, it says, "If ye abide in me,"
that's right.
In other words, if you live in me, and my words abide in you, my words live in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Oh, now this is positive. But it has a condition.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the conditions that you have to have on hand to be able to seek the Lord and get the answers that you need.
Right.
If you abide in me, if you live in me, if I'm important in your life, I'm the one you live for. I'm the one you speak to in the mornings. I'm the one you speak to at night before you go to sleep. I'm important in your life.
Amen.
And my words abide in you, my commandments, the things that you have learned and been taught, my words. You can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Thank
God. Oh, listen, dear ones. We have asked for many things.
Yes.
We have times that we ask for others. Of course we do. But we spend a lot of time asking for us, don't we?
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord shows us ourselves. Oh, you didn't say that quite right.
Yes.
You have an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You have this, you have that. And we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, help me with this attitude. I don't know how to get rid of it. See, if we'd have known how to get rid of it, we could have done it on our own. But we don't know how to get rid of it. We don't know how to stop the words that sometimes flow out of our mouth. We don't know how to stop the things that we think about sometimes. And we shake our heads and we say, oh, I don't want to think like that. I don't want to. But God knows.
Oh, yeah.
He knows. And so we come to him. And it says, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you live in me and I live in you,
yes.
You can ask what you will, it will be done.
Amen.
And another verse that goes along with that is 1 John 3. 1 John 3, 22 and 24. 22 through 24. And whatsoever ye ask, ye receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So now we see here's another something that was required of us when we ask so that we can receive. It says, we ask and we receive because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, commandments, of course, the Bible is our commandments. Everything that's in there, we are responsible for.
Amen.
So, if we don't spend much time in the Word and we don't spend much time actually speaking or looking into the Word and reading, meditating on it, we aren't going to know what commandments to follow. Because have you noticed that as you read the Word, that you understand this part of a scripture, and oh, it's just alive to you, and you just go right away and say, oh Lord, I want that in me, and I want to have that, and Lord, I don't want anything else but that, and you really want it. But after a few years, you go back and read that same scripture, and there is a deeper meaning that you get a hold of the second time that you didn't know of the first time.
Absolutely.
The Lord let you skim it the first time.
Yeah.
And then it's like taken apart in layers. So that word never gets old.
Amen.
Because it's living.
Yeah.
And so you can always find another deeper depth to go to in the scriptures. So in order to keep his commandments, we just can't look at the top, read it one time, look at the top of it, and say, okay, I'm doing all that the word commands. No, you're going to have to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, help us. And this is his commandment. Oh, I want to talk about the pleasing in his sight. Oh, these things that are pleasing in his sight, they're not the same for everybody. See, you have a realm that you deal in. You have your family. You have your business associates. You have many things. And there are things that God is going to show you that is pleasing for him, for you to do in your realm, that may not be as pleasing for someone else to do in their realm.
Yeah.
See, pleasing. In other words, don't we want that when we get there? Don't we want them to say, well done. Well done, thou good, faithful servant. Enter into the joys. That's what we want.
Yes, Lord.
Well, how can it be well done if all we do is say, well, I'm just following the commandments. I don't have to go one step further than the commandment. We don't think about pleasing the Lord.
Wow.
To actually please him in something. Please him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, love one another as he gave us commandment. That's his first commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him.
Yeah.
And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. There's that Spirit again. That's how we know. That's how everything is cemented in our life that we receive from the Lord, is through his Holy Spirit. Through the leadership of the Holy Spirit inside of us, and through the sanction of the Holy Spirit. So that when we read something, we get that burning sanction in here from the Holy Spirit that says that's truth.
Yeah.
When we hear something, the Holy Spirit speaks in here and says that's truth. We know automatically, even though it has to be taken by faith, we know.
Amen.
Because of the Holy Spirit, a part of God living in us.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, Luke 18:1-2. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then it goes on to say, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And we know about the widow that came to him, wanted to be avenged of her adversary. And she had to keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, and keep coming. And that's what the parable's about.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't faint.
Yeah.
Don't faint. You ever had an opportunity or a time in your life? It's not very opportunistic, but to faint? When you've run past all of the power and strength that you have, and your body just shuts down, and you faint. Faint. The Lord wants us to realize we can't faint.
Yeah.
We can't get worn out praying about something. We have to keep going. We have to keep doing it. We have to keep saying it over and over and over again. We have to keep going forward. Whether we see anything or not, because God's moving the puzzle pieces. Just give him some more time. He's moving the puzzle pieces. Because not everybody is as easy to move as you are. He has to move some of these other people in order to answer your prayer. And they're not easily moved. But he's working. He's working on it. He's working on them. But always to pray and not to faint.
Amen.
Don't get tired. Don't get weary in well-doing. Remember, just keep praying.
Amen.
When the Lord healed my knees, I had such horrible pain. I was thinking about I was going to have to get a lift from my house. And how much longer before I'd have to start using a walker and a wheelchair and all these different things. I was considering all these things, and I was asking the Lord, but every so often, every year or so, I would come and have the elders pray over me.
Yes.
14 years, but he healed them. He took care of them. He took away all that pain. They're stronger than they've been. At first, I couldn't even kneel down because they were like baby skin on my knees, and it felt like I was crushing my skin, but it's not like that now.
Amen.
It's not like that now. They're stronger and stronger because I didn't faint. I didn't just give up and say, well, it must be the Lord's will, although I thought it sometimes, but I kept asking.
Amen.
I kept coming back and asking. I was satisfied with whatever he did, and God knew it. He knew I was satisfied. He knew I would go through whatever I had to go through. But I kept asking. We can keep asking.
Amen.
And God, in his time, in his perfect timing, I don't know why it took 14 years. I don't know why it happened when it happened. I may not ever know why. But he did it. We're not to faint. Don't faint. James 1:5-8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, doesn't withhold, and it shall be given him. But, okay, here comes the but. That's a very positive scripture right there. But there's a but. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because, why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, there are many people that begin asking God, well, God, I'm gonna ask for this and everything, but if you don't do something, then I'm gonna do so and so. You see? That's wavering. That's wavering between what you're willing to let God do for you and what you're gonna do for yourself. And you're unstable. And you're not exercising faith to believe that God looks down on your life, he sees everything. He knows everything about it. And he's working and maneuvering in your life to bring about the best thing. We have to believe that.
Yeah.
We have to believe that God is like that. it says, ask in faith, nothing wavering.
Yes.
You can't go back and forth. You can't say, well, I'll do this. You know, there are a lot of people that make a lot of deals with God. I'll do this if you'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a wise thing to do.
No.
Do you know that God can't be bargained with?
No.
You know you can't bargain with him? You can't try to get it for a lesser price.
No.
You're going to have to pay the whole price to get it.
Yeah.
Whatever you're asking for, you're going to have to pay the whole price. You can't take a shortcut.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's waiting on the Lord, and sometimes it's getting something in your life straightened up, and sometimes it's looking and saying, Lord, where I have time of reflection and looking on my life to learn some more things. Sometimes it's because he's putting these puzzle pieces together out there. Whatever it is,
yeah.
We are to wait on the Lord, have faith in him, and not waver.
Okay.
Not waver. We don't want to be unstable. We don't want to be in a place where the Lord can't count on us.
That's right.
1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence. Oh, we like to have confidence, don't we? Okay, here's your confidence. Here's your confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's our confidence. According to his will. So, a lot of times we end our prayers with, Lord willing. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not exactly what this means. This means that according to his will. In other words, we have utmost faith that when we are praying for our loved ones that they will be saved, that is according to his will.
Yeah.
And we have all the confidence in the world to be able to pray for that, don't we?
Yes.
We know it's his will.
Yes.
We can know things that his will is for us, and we can pray for those things. I see a fault in me. I see something in me that isn't good.
Yes.
Somebody told me something about myself, and now I'm praying about it or whatever. When we're asking God to get rid of that thing out of us, we can have confidence.
Yes.
Because we know it's his will to improve us and take things out of us that are not pleasing to him. We know. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, is it according to his will to ask for healing?
Yes.
It's according to his will to ask for it. Does he always bring it? I told you I waited 14 years. He doesn't always bring it exactly how we think. You see, there are many times that we ask for something, not realizing what something is doing for us.
That's right.
What that thing that we are asking that God would remove, like Paul with his thorn, he was asking God to remove it. It was right of him to ask. And he had faith believing. But then when the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. In other words, this is something you need to carry. Because as you carry it, it's going to work for you.
Amen.
It's going to work for you. There are things that we carry because they work for us. Working a deeper depth in our soul, a better understanding in our minds, you know, a deeper consecration to the Lord. There are many, many things God lets come in our lives because where is he trying to get us to? He's trying to get us to heaven where he lives. He knows. We can't make it in if we have a lot of things that have not been corrected.
Yeah.
He's trying to correct us. This is our getting ready place, dear ones.
Amen.
When you get ready for a long trip, sometimes it takes several days, doesn't it? Washing clothes, packing clothes, making lists, making sure you don't forget anything. That's what God's doing with us.
Amen.
He wants to make sure that nothing is left undone and unturned to where when we come before him, he can look to his Father and he can say, he's one of mine.
Yeah, amen.
He's one of mine.
Oh, Lord, yes.
So, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So it isn't a magic thing to ask for a bunch of stuff and then say, Lord willing. That isn't quite it.
No.
We're to have some confidence when we pray.
Amen.
We're to have some confidence that what we're praying for is the right thing.
Yes, that's right.
We're to have some confidence that, Lord, I believe that you want to work in this particular situation. I don't know what you might want to do, but I believe you want to work in here. So do what you have to do in this situation. I'm not telling him what to do. If I tell him what to do, that may not be according to his will. If I tell him how to work it out, that might not be according to his will. If I tell him the time frame that has to be worked out in, that may not be according to his will. But I can ask for him to work in it and know that that is according to his will. He will work in it. We cannot have preconceived ideas about how God is going to answer these things. We have to have faith and confidence that when we come before him, that he hears us.
Amen.
And we will have what we have petitioned for. But it may not look like anything that we thought it would look like. But we still get the answer. Because God sees deeper than we see.
Oh, yes.
I want to close with a scripture in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. This is God speaking to his people. He's speaking particularly to the people that have been carried away into Babylon. And he was telling them that they were going to come out in time, but they were going to suffer for a while. But this is universal for us. This scripture can be applied to us today. Jeremiah 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. He wants to give us peace. Not of evil. He doesn't want to bring evil on us, punish us, make us suffer. That is not what he is doing. Not of evil. To give you an expected end. See, God knows how to do all the things to get to that expected end. We don't. How many times have you started a project and in the middle realized, uh-oh, I don't know how to do this. This has to be done before that can be done, but I don't know how to do this part. That's us. That's us here on earth. We don't know how to do our part. We have to be taught. We have to be persuaded. We have to be open to his dealings with us so that we can know to come to this expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I'll hearken unto you. You call upon me, you pray to me, I will hear you. I will hear you, and I will work towards the expected end. Not your happiness. You know that the Lord is not as interested in what you think happiness is. He's not as interested in that as he is of you dealing with yourself, getting your soul right so that you can enter heaven. There have been many martyrs out there. That wasn't a happy experience. Chased down, martyred. No, but he knew how to get them there. He knew how to get them there. He knew how to get them to say, I would rather die than recant. He knew how to get them to say that.
Amen.
And it wasn't through easy times. It was through hard things that they learned to say, whatever, Lord, whatever I have to go through, as long as I make it there. And then it says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It's all your heart. Everything in your being, all your heart. You can't divide off your heart. There's many, many people in this day and age that have divided their heart. They've divided it up. They have this part for God, and then they have this part for themselves, and then they have this part where they, you know, cater to somebody else in their life or whatever. They do all these things. When you shall search for me with all your heart. Everything in you, regardless of what I have to go through. When you get there, when you say regardless, it doesn't matter to me what I have to go through. Whatever it is, I'm willing because I want to make it. I want to please you. I want to follow your commandments. I want my prayers answered. Seems like some people get their prayers answered faster and better than others.
Yes.
Listen, they may be following these scriptures better
than
we are. And that might be the reason why our prayers don't get answered quite the same way. Lord, help us. Help us to realize the things that we have to have in our life for when we're seeking His help. Oh, there are requirements. There are things you have to have on hand. There are things you have to be doing. There are things you have to be forsaking. There has to be a closeness. That's what you have to have in order to make it all the way. We thank the Lord.
Amen.